Welcome to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. I'm Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist. Today, I'm talking about resilience with Dr. Ken Ginsberg, a pediatrician specializing in adolescent medicine at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and an associate professor of pediatrics at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. He is also the author of Building Resilience in Children and Teens, Giving Kids Roots and Wings, published by the American Academy of Pediatrics. In this segment, Dr. Ginsberg explains how parents model character and coping. One of the pieces of advice in your book is start by getting out of the way. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what you mean by that and why parents need to learn to get out of the way?
Well, kids have to learn to trust themselves. Kids have to learn to trust their own competencies. And they have to figure out solutions to problems. And when we dive in because the kid falls down, I mean, think about it. When your kid was 11 months old and she took her very first step, what was the next thing she did immediately afterwards?
Fell down.
She fell. And you run over and you pick her up and she wants to go, gosh, mommy, thank you so much. You know, these legs, they're new, they're wobbly, and I sure do appreciate your help. But what does she do instead? She pushes you away.
Right.
Okay? There's a certain wisdom where kids need know that they need to figure things out on their own. And I'm not in any way suggesting that we should ignore the kids and get out of the way and just let them, you know, figure out the world like Lord of the Flies. I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm suggesting that we trust in the wisdom of child development and that we give them support. And then mostly we're cheering on the sidelines, but close enough that when they really need us, they never have any question that we're there to support them. And when a kid has a problem, what you don't want to do is fix that problem for them. You also don't want to catastrophize that problem. It might be something that they're just passing through and that your fear of the problem is exactly what's going to escalate it. So you do want them to occasionally have to fall down and get themselves back up so that they can learn to problem solve on their own. That's without a doubt. But I never have a concern about a parent showing unconditional love and showing concern. You know, Johnny, you don't seem like yourself right now. Tamar, it seems like something's really bothering you. Is there anything you want to talk about? I'm here to listen. See, the key is that when we support kids with our presence and with our love, and when we allow ourselves to be the sounding board that allows them to try out solutions, kind of that, you know, proverbial lighthouse on the shore, you want to be there, you want to be stable, you want them to navigate the coastline around you, but you don't want to go down and get a rowboat and always bring them in yourself. But you want to give them that sense of security that they can figure things out on their own. That, always, always, always feel free to give your kid. Always give them that unconditional support, that totally trustworthy presence. That's very different than saying to a kid, I can fix your problem. I see you're troubled. Let mommy fix it. Very, very different approach. The first says, I'm here for you, and I trust in your ability to solve your problem. The second says, oh, my God, there might be a crisis. I'm here to fix it, because I think you might not be capable on your own.
How do you teach character?
I think that is the hardest question you could ask me. Of all of the seven C's, you know, each one in my book has, you know, several chapters. And I thought that writing the one about character was by far the hardest, because people begin getting angry at you when you tell someone what they should believe or what they should feel. So I really kind of treaded rather softly in that chapter. I have certain values that I couldn't ignore and that I definitely talked about in the book, like the importance of caring about justice, the importance of fighting against racism and fighting against homophobia. You know, I talked about those as core values, and I haven't yet gotten in trouble for saying that. But the bottom line is you model character. Mm-hmm. You're not shy. I think that we're so shy about telling kids that there's something that might be right or that there's something might be wrong. But there is. There are things that are just not fair, that are just not just. It's just not okay to bully. It's just not okay to tease another kid and make them feel awful about themselves. It's just not okay that there are homeless people on the streets and other people who are living in mansions. It's just not okay. And it's okay for us to talk about that out loud and to speak loudly about it. But most importantly, it's that we, you know, there's that expression that says, sometimes your actions speak so loudly that kids can't hear a word that you say. Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably especially true. I think there are two C's that that's especially true in. One is character, and the other is coping. They're just watching us really closely. And kids, especially as they become teenagers, they have very, very strong hypocrite sensors. Mm-hmm. And they'll really, really hold it against you if you don't live up to it.
I hear your emphasis on modeling, and you also talked about speaking loudly. It makes me think that sometimes, oftentimes, it's very easy for people to misinterpret an action that they see.
I think it's really important to speak out loud about our intentions, because otherwise kids won't necessarily understand what's going on and may not draw the greatest lesson. Now, you don't want to do it where you're kind of like a radio that never goes off. So you have to be kind of wise about it. But, you know, if you're going to take stress reduction, you know, you might go running every day and your kid might just think you're doing it because you want to show off your sneakers. They might want to think you're doing it because you want to stay trim. But how wonderful is it if you're having a really stressed day, or even if your kid makes you angry and you say, you know what, I can't even make a decision right now because I'm so angry and frustrated. I'm going to go for a run because that's how I clear my head. I always feel better after I've taken a run or taken a bath or called Aunt Lois or gone to pray or written my poetry. It doesn't matter. But when we tell kids that we're actually doing these things as a way to feel better, then the lesson's going to be really well learned. Otherwise, we can't assume that that kids know that the reason you're taking a bubble bath is to clear your head. They might just think you like bubbles.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast, find more resources, including links and discussion guides, and let us know what you think at urj.org/parents.